Take your Bible this morning, if you will, and let's open them up to the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel chapter 19, if you will. 2 Samuel chapter 19. I'm trying to decide whether to put my glasses on or not. My glasses bug the fire out of me. Do any of y'all look better if I've got glasses on? Y'all going to look the same. You do? No, Brother Mudd, I've seen you up close. You don't look any better, all right? So you just look the same. That doesn't mean you look worse. It just means you don't look any better, see? See, it's amazing how people take things sometimes, you know. Some people, now Brother Mudd didn't, but some people get offended if I said, well, you don't look any better. Well, that doesn't mean you look bad. It just means you don't look any better, all right? So that's for sure. There in 2 Samuel chapter 19, if you would look at verse 31. Now, let me just give you what's going on. David has had to flee Jerusalem because his son Absalom led a revolt against his own dad. And boy, there was an upheaval, obviously, and he had to run for his life. He did flee. He left the capital, and Absalom, though, has now been slain, and David's on the way back to Jerusalem, all right? And he's passing by some people that he's known, and he's talking to them. And in verse 31, we come, and Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of substance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense at me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. I want to invite your attention, if I could, back to verse 34, where Barzillai says this, and he asks a question, and he says, how long have I to live? How long have I to live? Barzillai was 80 years old. 80 years old. He had the problems that often come with age. He talked about it. He said, my eyesight's not so good anymore. He said, when he said, can I discern between good and evil? He said, my eyesight's not good. He said, my hearing's not good. And he said, I can't, hear the voice of singing men and singing women. And now I'm getting up in years myself. And this middle thing there bothers me when he says, can thy servant taste what I eat? I hope I don't lose my taste buds, all right? But he's saying, boy, I'm older, and all that's going with age is part of it. He said, I'm coming along, I'm losing those things, all right? Now, I want to speak to you this morning in relationship to that question, how long have I to live? But I want to speak to you on the subject of understanding time management, okay? Now, you said, just going to be a seminar. No, it's preaching time, okay? We're not going to have a seminar, but I'm going to talk to you about understanding time management. Listen, I believe this. I believe older people have a better understanding of time than do younger folks. I think we have a better understanding. Why? Well, they've lived more. They've seen more. They therefore understand more about time and its passing, okay? And Barzillai, he recognized the fact that, hey, I'm 80 years old. Really, what he's saying is, I don't have that much longer to live. He said, King, it's not worth the trouble to you or for me to come and you to reward me. Just let me stay here. I'll die here, be buried with my fathers, I just don't have that much longer to live. You see, one of the problems with young folks have is they assume they have plenty of time. Multitude of people think, well, I've got plenty of time, all right? But you don't know that. But on the other hand, as people get older, there comes a time when this thought crosses your mind for the first time, I wonder how much time I have left. I wonder how much time I have left. You said, never thought that. Well, probably means you're a little younger, all right? Now, the fact that you won't admit you've thought that is different, all right? But I'll be honest with you, I have. I've thought a time or two. How much time have I got left? If I live as long as my dad lived, I got 15 years left. I've got 15 years. Now, when I stop and think about 15 years is not very long. Now, the Nick out there, Nick says 15 forever. Sarah back there, she's only 12. She said, 15 years, that's a long time. Oh, no, they're just young, all right? When a person is diagnosed with a terminal illness, the question quickly becomes, how much time do I have left? How much time do I have left? I'll be honest with you, I don't know how much time I've got left. I don't know how much time you've got left. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the time you've got left, okay? I want to talk to you a little bit about that time. Listen, there's some truths. Number one, there's some things about time you can't do, all right? For instance, you cannot restore time. You cannot do it. But how many times have you heard somebody say, if I could just go back and... But you can't. You can't do it. You can't rewind the clock, all right? You can't restore that time. There's no way to do it. It's impossible to do that. I believe that's one reason the Bible says to you and me, and the psalmist said, teach me to number. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. We need to think about it. We need to think about those days that come. Why? Because each day you have is a precious possession. Time is a very precious thing. And young people don't understand that. The older you get, the more you understand how precious time is and how important it is. You cannot restore it. But by the way, by the same token, you can't retard it. You can't slow it down. Can't slow it down no matter what you do. Now, when I was a kid in school, I didn't want to slow it down. I wanted to speed it up. I remember sitting in class looking at the clock, swearing it had stopped. All right? You know, I remember sitting there and thinking, I looked at it, man, it's surely, 15 minutes have passed and 2 minutes haven't passed, you know. How long can this drag on, you know? But, hey, you can't slow it down, but people often want to. Now, we don't think of it maybe in that terms. We think of it this way. Well, man, my kids are growing up too quick. My kids are growing up too quick. Well, that just means time's passing. Time's passing. You can't slow it down, all right? Now, I'll be honest with you, you can stop your clock. But I just want you to tell you that the sun keeps moving, all right? Sun keeps moving. Time's going on. Doesn't matter if your clock's moving or not. Time keeps moving. Time keeps moving. I got my watch on, and according to my watch, it's just 10:30. Because I never changed it when we jumped forward. He said, why not? Well, eventually it's going to come back to where I'm at, okay? So why fool with it? I was in the chiropractor's office the other day, and he was working over me, and he saw my watch, and he said, is there any reason your watch says it's... I said, yeah, I never moved it. He said, man, I thought I was at the wrong time all of a sudden. I'm wondering, what am I doing here, you know? You can't slow it down. It's going to keep moving. I'll tell you something else about it. You can't retain it. What do you mean? I mean, you can't hold it and save it for later. You can't do that, all right? It comes and it's gone. It comes and it's gone. I mean, there it is. All right? That's just time. There, you can't restore it. You can't retain it. You can't retard it. It's gone. It just goes on, all right? Now, I'll tell you what you can do. You can react to time. That's what a lot of people do. I'll give you a Bible example. I believe Samson was a man who merely reacted to time. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm not going to take the time this morning because time's precious, all right? So I'm not going to take that time this morning to go through and read everything that I'm going to mention to you, but, if you're familiar with the story of Samson, then you're going to be with me. If you're not familiar, read it in the book of Judges, all right? It's in the book of Judges. You can read it. But Samson, his life, it was just whatever happened, it happened. He was walking along one day, and this lion shows up. He says, I think I'll kill it. So he did. He got aggravated one time, and so he thought, you know, he said, I believe I'll just take the city gates and haul them off and put them on a hill way over yonder. So he did. He was just reacting to circumstances. He was on the top of a hill one time, and his enemies were gathered down there around him, and he was up there, and they were afraid of him, and so some guys went up and said, look, you know, they just sent us up here. We don't want you to kill us, and they just sent us up here to get you, and could you just cooperate? And he said, oh, yeah, no problem. He said, you just promise me one thing. When we get to the bottom of the hill, you back off and don't gang up with them. And they said, no problem. So they tied him up, hung him off of a pole, took him down the hill, and when they dropped him and the enemies were going to grab him, he picked up a jawbone and he slew 1,000 of them with the jawbone of an ass. He was just reacting to what happened. I mean, you study the life of Samson, you see the life of a man who basically is just wandering through life. Here he is. Now, boy, he had all the talent, he had the ability, but he was just wandering through life. Wandering through life. By the way, wandering through life cost him greatly. He lost his eyesight, lost his strength, made mockery of, made fun of. Why? He was just wandering through life. He just spent his life reacting to what happened. Hey, there's a lot of people seem like they follow that plan. There doesn't seem to be any purpose or any definite plan in their life. They just whatever happens, they react to it. They react to it, all right? Man, I had a tough week. How was your week? That's tough. Well, I had problems. Just, you know, whatever happened. I got a job, somebody makes them mad, I quit. Well, then what are you going to do? I don't know. All you're doing is just reacting to life. No plan, just reacting. And so then you're hunting for a job, all right? Hey, I found something about those kind of people. Those kind of people usually wind up very dissatisfied and very unhappy. They're the kind of people they might say, man, nothing ever happens here. And then they say two words that I really detest. I'm bored. Well, that's because you're waiting for something to happen that you can react to. You're just going through life reacting to time. Whatever time brings your way, I'll react to it, okay? And if they can do that, and you react to that time. That's why people go to Six Flags. They go to Six Flags. Watch people at Six Flags, okay? Watch people at Six Flags. They go from ride to ride, and a lot of them, they stand in line. They get on the ride. They get off the ride. They're just reacting, all right? Just reacting. I mean, here I am just reacting to what happens, all right? Listen, God never put you on this earth just to react to what happens. He didn't put you there. You're not here on this world to just say, well, you know, whatever happens, I'll take it as it comes. No. You're not to go through life just taking it as it comes, all right? Now, yeah, there's some things you just have to take. You can't avoid them. They happen. But man, some things wouldn't happen if you'd plan. You'd have a purpose. You see, God says to us, you got a choice. You can react to time or you can do this. Take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 over in the New Testament, would you? Hey, listen, how are you going to manage your time? You've got a certain amount of time left. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how much time you have left. Are you just going to wait and react to whatever happens? I'm just waiting, all right? I'm just going to react with what takes place in time, and I'll react. That's what the stock market does. Stock market now is in the tank, all right? Because it's reacting, people are reacting to the circumstances right now. Right now. So, I mean, stocks are dropping, you know, and everything. Why? Well, we're just reacting to what's going on. That's not the way to live your life. You say, what does God want us to do? Ephesians 5, look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. See then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Hey, that's what we are to do. To redeem, that word means to convert it into something of value. In the case of time, it means we're to use it. We're to plan to use it. Now, every one of you are here this morning because you plan to use this time by being in church. You made some plans at some point. I don't know when you made them. Maybe some of you made them last night. You said, hey, we're going to get up. We're going to church tomorrow. And this is where we're going to go. You made your mind. Maybe you didn't make that plan really until this morning. You looked at the clock, said, I got time. We can be at church. Let's go, all right? Or maybe you're like somebody who I will not name that looked at their clock or looked at their phone, realized, it's Sunday. And I'm late. I better get ready. All right? Good. Hey, listen, whatever your situation is, you're here. But at some point in time, you made a decision to be in church. Now, I made the decision to be here years and years and years ago. Years and years ago, I made the decision to be here on July the 17th, 2022. If God will let me live, I'm going to be in church. You see, that's why I'm planning to be next Sunday, too. Otherwise, we're planning to be tonight, 6 o'clock. Got the plans already made. Well, of course, you're a preacher. Well, if I wasn't preaching, I'd be here. I'd be here. Not, I'm not here because I'm a preacher. I'm here because I'm a Christian, all right? I'm here because I'm the pastor, all right? But I would be here if I wasn't. Why? Well, I made plans. I planned to do it. I wanted to redeem that time. Now, how are you going to redeem your time? Well, you invest it. You invest it. One thing you need to invest it in is you need to invest it in people. In people. Take your Bible. I want you to notice the example the Apostle Paul left for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, would you? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look with me there at one verse. I want you to see what the Apostle Paul said about it in verse 15, 2 Corinthians 12. Now listen and look very carefully at what he said. He said this, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Now I want you to see what this says, all right? Sometimes we read words, but we don't think about what those words are saying. So we're just going to kind of dissect this verse just a little bit. Hey, we're talking about redeeming the time, all right? Paul redeemed the time he had. Now, he had taken a lot of time before he got saved, and he had reacted. He had reacted. He was a religious man. He saw Christians. He reacted. They're wrong. Let's kill them. And that's what he was doing. But he got born again on the road to Damascus. God changed him, and he began to redeem the time that he had left. All right? He began to make use of it. And one way he did it was by doing it for people. Now notice the first thing he says there, I will very, you see that next word? Gladly. Gladly. He said, I'm doing it very gladly. I'm not bitter. And he said, I'm not doing it out of a sense of duty. It's not out of a sense of duty. I'm not trying to make an impression. Not trying to impress anybody. He said, it's not grudgingly. Several years back now, I guess it was 10 years ago now, I stood here. And, well, I came down this aisle right here. And I didn't stand here. I came down this aisle with my daughter on this arm. And she was dressed in white and all of that. And there was a crowd of people here. And her future husband at that time was standing over here. And his dad was standing right here. And I stopped right there, and they asked me, they said, who giveth this woman in marriage to this man? And I said, grudgingly, her mother and I. You said, did you say that? I said that. If you were here, you remember it, okay? You said, did you mean it? Every word of it, all right? Every word of it. Paul said this gladly. Gladly. He said, I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing it gladly. It's not grudging. He said, I don't have a grudge. I'm doing it with a happy heart. With a happy heart. I'm doing it with an excited attitude. You see, I get up here and preach to people. Oftentimes I think people said, okay, I'm going to do it just because you said it. Well, I'm glad that wasn't the way Paul operated. Paul said, I'm doing this. He said, what I'm fixing to tell you about, he said, I'm doing it, and I want you to know I'm doing it gladly. I'm very happy to be spending my time this way. But notice what he said, I'm gladly, and I will spend for you. I will spend for you. Now, if you don't understand that word, it means it's going to cost something. It's going to cost something. Look, if you take and you decide, okay, I've got some time left. I don't know how much time I've got left, but I'm going to spend that time for somebody else. That means it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Yep, it will. Now, you say, what's it going to cost? I don't know. When you decide to spend, sometimes it costs that cash stuff. It does. You have to shell out some money. Decide to do it. And I'm going to tell you this, but not because I want you to think, oh, no. But I just want to illustrate what I'm saying. We had a young man that, man, it was months and months ago. He came visit our church. He was down. He had moved down here out of New York. And he had come here. It's not Brother Dunbar, all right? So don't think, well, you're telling the story. No, it's not him, okay? This young man had come down here, and he just wanted to get out of New York, and who can blame him for that, all right? But so he wanted to get out of New York and get away from there. He had a bad situation going on. He had gotten saved, and he came down here, and he was living with another family trying to work a job. Make a long story short, he wound up homeless and everything, and we tried to help him, and he finally decided, you know, I really think I need to just go back to New York and get myself established financially. He said, but I want to come back to Texas. And man, he was between a rock and a hard place, and there was all kinds of, man, there's ins and outs, long, long story. But I just want to tell you, I decided we're going to help this guy. And so I bought him a plane ticket to go home. Bought him a plane ticket. Hey, it was cheaper to buy him a plane ticket than it was a bus ticket. All right, so I bought him a plane ticket to go back. You said, why? Because sometimes it costs you when you invest in people. Sometimes it just costs you if you invest in people. You said, you ever expect to get paid back? Nope, not by him. Nope, never expect to see a dime of it. But that's fine. That's fine. Look, if you're going to invest yourself in people, it's going to cost you sometime. And yes, sometimes it'll cost you some money. It will cost you, but it may cost you time. It will cost. It's not done without a cost, all right? Now, some of you are already going, turn that off, we ain't doing it. But you're missing something, because you're going to go through life, and you're not going to redeem the time. You're not going to redeem it. You got to invest it in, sometimes one day you need to invest it in some people. Notice what Paul said. He said, I will very gladly spend. But then he goes further, and he says, be spent. Be spent. So what's he talking about? He's saying, I'm ready to be worn out and worked over, put out and used up. Yep, he said, I'm willing to do that. Why? For you. Now, he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's saying to them, I'm willing to do that for you. For you. Why? I'm willing to give of myself. I will spend, but I'll not only spend, I'll be spent. I'll let you use me, if you will. And you do take that chance. When you decide, you said, Peter, I wouldn't do that because I believe somebody would use me. Yep, somebody will. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. But the Apostle Paul is saying, look, I'm redeeming the time. I'm redeeming the time. But man, he went further. He didn't just stop there. You look at what he said after that. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. What an attitude. Here's a fellow that says, I'm going to redeem the time that I have left. I'll spend, I'll be spent. It doesn't matter. You may love me less. I'll love you more and you won't care. But he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Now, folks, that's not just for me to do. That's for me and you and all of us to do. Redeem the time. Redeem the time, all right? Even when it's not appreciated. Even when it's not reciprocated. I've often said, the biggest part of the time, I'm afraid, when somebody says, I love you, it is to get somebody else to say that in return. I love you. And they expect that other person to say, okay, I guess I love you too. All right. Hey, listen, Paul said, I don't care if it's reciprocated or not. I'm redeeming the time. I've got some time and I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. I'm going to take and I'm going to invest that time, and I'm going to invest it in some people. And some of those people he invested in was the people at Corinth, the church at Corinth. He said, I'm willing to spend and be spent, though the more I love you, the less you love me. It'll not be reciprocated. It'll not be appreciated, maybe. And sometimes it won't even be acknowledged. Ever done something for somebody and they didn't even say those two little words that every one of us ought to know, and that is thank you? Hey, listen. Paul said, I'm redeeming the time. I'll invest in somebody else. You want to take the time God's given you? You want to redeem it? One thing you need to do is invest it in somebody else. Invest it in somebody else. Now, there is a ton of ways to do that. You can invest it in somebody else by teaching them what you know. You can invest it in them by training them and help, or just simply helping them along through a tough time in life. You can invest in people, all right? You want to redeem the time? Invest in people. The second thing, if you want to redeem the time, you need to indulge yourself in service to God. Now, did you hear that word, indulge? That's whole hog, give it everything you got, all right? Indulge yourself in service to God. He said, how? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last verse in chapter 15. Boy, the Apostle Paul, he's writing still the church of Corinth. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Somebody once made this statement, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. There is a great deal of truth in that. Great deal of truth in that. You can go to cemeteries today around this city and find a lot of people buried. Most of those people are totally forgotten. You cannot find anybody here that could tell you anything about that person. They're totally forgotten. Gone. Their life was lived. They may have lived 60, 70, 80, 100 years. But they've been forgotten. But I tell you what you do for God, it won't be forgotten. It will not be forgotten. John 15, 16, the Lord said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. What a wonderful thing that God chose to use us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? God chose to use us. He could have chosen numerous other ways to do it, but he calls people to serve him. He wants you to give yourself to serve him. Now, wait a minute. I know what you think. Automatically, people said, God hadn't called me to preach. That's not what I'm talking about. Well, God hadn't called me to the mission field, and I'm not going to let him either. That's not what I'm talking about. Not what I'm talking about. God wants to use you. He did call you. He chose to use you. He has a work for you to do. He has a purpose for you in this life. You said, well, what is it? Well, that's your job to find out. It's called the will of God. And you're to search that out. You're to find it. And then you're to indulge yourself fully in doing it. Give it everything you've got in serving him. But preacher, I have to earn a living. God knows that. We're not talking about quitting your job. We're talking about you just serving God. God, that is a purpose. I mean, there's a way for you to serve him. Find the will of God for your life and do that. Be steadfast in doing it. Steadfast. Man, I mean, stick it out. Unmovable. You can't shake them off of it. Can't shake them off. That's it. I'm there. Then the Bible says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is giving it everything you've got, man, and excited about it. Abounding. Abounding doesn't sound like dragon, does it? Man, it's abounding in the work of the Lord. I remember going to bus conferences and bus seminars for church buses. And one of the things they'd tell you to do is when you visit the bus route, get moving. It was, don't get out of the car and drag up to the door. Oh, let's get it. Move, hook it up there. Get there. Knock on the door. They said, make it sound like the police are knocking on the door. And be excited about it, you know. Don't go up there and say, I don't guess y'all want to come tomorrow, do you? I've seen people, that's kind of their approach, you know. I don't reckon you'd care to do that, would you? No, man, it said, hey, listen, we're expecting you to come. You're going to be there tomorrow, right? We got things planned. You're going to come, right? And they'd tell you, shake your head, okay? They would do that. It was part of it. It's what you're trying to do. You're trying to be abounding. Hey, we're doing something. This is exciting stuff. I want you to be involved. I don't know how y'all feel, but that's where I come to church, man. I don't get out of the car going, oh, bless God, here we go again. Man, thank God for the opportunity to be here, you know? Thank God. What a wonderful job. What a wonderful privilege it is to serve God. What a wonderful privilege it is just to be involved in anything to do with the work of God. Remember what Paul said to the folks there in 2 Corinthians? He said, I will gladly spend and be spent even if you don't love me. We ought to have that same attitude serving God. I'll gladly spend and be spent, but I know you love me. But I know you love me. Oh, yeah. Man, abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Hey, I don't know how much time I've got left. I have no idea. No idea. I used to go to the doctor. I always wanted to tell the doctor, and he said, well, everything looks good. I've always wanted to say to him, yeah, I'll probably drop dead in your parking lot leaving here. Hey, you know, just to pick at him, all right? Hey, I don't know how long I've got left to live, but I know this. I want to take the time God gives me and use it. I want to redeem that time. I don't want to just react to what's going on. I don't want to just let it pass along. I don't want to exist floating along saying, well, maybe something will happen today. Hey, make it happen. Make it happen. Redeem the time. Hey, you can't restore it. You can't restart it. You can't retain it. You can't retard it. It's going to pass. Guarantee it will, all right? Now, you can just spend your life reacting to time and whatever time brings your way. Or you can redeem the time. But I guarantee you this, you will give a report on the time you spend. You will give a report. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. See, one of these days, there's going to come a day you will give a report on the time God's given you. Romans 14, verse 12, the Bible says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Can you imagine standing before God and say, well, Lord, I kept waiting, but nothing happened. Nothing happened. So, Lord, I never did much of anything for you because nothing ever happened to cause me to do it. Boy, I don't want to stand before God and say that. I really hope to be able, I know I've got a lot of things I've got to account for, but one of these days I would like to be able to give a report and be able to say, Lord, I tried to redeem that time you gave me. I tried to make use of it. I tried not to just let it pass me by, all right? Hey, you say, well, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to remember. Don't worry, God's keeping the record. No, you're not going to have to keep them. You're going to make the report, but he's kept the record. It's written down. He's got it written in the books, all right? So don't think, well, I'll just sit and say, well, I can't remember. You know, you're not going to be testifying before Congress. Okay. You're not going to be testifying before some judge and say, well, you know, my memory is a little hazy of those events. Don't worry. God's going to be able to say, well, let me show you right here. I can jog your memory, son. I can help you just a little bit. You're going to have to give a report of that time. Can I just say this to you? The greatest motivation to retain the time, instead of just reacting and waiting on something to happen that you can react to, the greatest motivation to get you to redeem it ought to be that thought right there. I will stand before God and give a report to Him. I'm going to have to stand. Now, I'm going to have to tell Him. Lord, here's what I did. And you say, well, that didn't do anything good. That'll even be worse. How are you going to explain why you did? Why you did? We've got excuses, every excuse under the sun today for not doing what we don't want to do. I mean, just every excuse. But their excuse won't work then. Hey, listen, how are you managing your time? So I don't think I got much left. Well, it's even more. You better get with it. You better manage that little bit you got left. I know right now I've got a lot less than I had, but I've already spent. I don't have near as much left as I've already spent. So I want to be careful about it, all right? Man, somebody said, I'm living my best life now. Best for who? Best for who? Well, I'm stacking it up and stocking it away, and I'll just sit back and enjoy it one day. Oh, best for you. Best for you. There's somebody out there could use your help. Somebody out there could use your guidance. There's somebody out there could use your witness. Somebody out there. You need to redeem the time. You need to redeem the time. Hey, you making that count for eternity? Or just to make you feel good right now? Big difference. Man, God help us to use whatever time we have left. Whatever time, Lord, whatever it is, I want to use it. I want to use it wisely. I want to use it wisely. Now, can I say this to you? Because I know how minds think. Well, preacher, you expect me to be going all the time, all the time. I have to rest every now and then. God knows that. God knows that. He made you. He put you on this. He knows what you need. He knows you need to rest every now and then. But bless your heart, you don't need to rest 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all right? You're overly rested. Listen, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Don't fritter it away. Don't fritter it away. Some people are going to fritter away their chance to be saved. They're going to miss that opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. God's given you that opportunity. If you're here this morning, that offer is extended to you right now. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, it matters not. He can forgive it and He will forgive it. Well, preacher, I just don't believe He will. Then you think God's a liar. Because He said, I'll forgive it. I'll forgive. All you got to do is come to Him. Come to Him. Hey, don't fritter away that day of salvation. Don't do it. But my friend, you're here this morning. You've been born again. You've saved. You've trusted Christ. What are you doing with the time He's given you to live here? What are you doing with that time? I'll be honest, I'm trying to make preparation for that long time I'm going to live over there. I'm going to live there a lot longer than we're going to live here, okay? I want to make preparation. I want some folks to be over there with me that I had a hand in reaching. Hey, I've got two kids. I want to be sure when they died, they'd go to heaven too. Go to heaven too. Got a wife. I want to be sure she's saved. You said, are you casting out? No, I'm glad she's saved. Hey, but I got kinfolks. You understand what I'm saying? I got friends. Hey, I got grandkids now. I'm praying God save them. As soon as they get old enough, they can understand. Would you help them to get saved? You know something else trying to do? And trying to live in front of them so they won't think Christianity's a joke. I was sitting this morning down there on that pew, and I don't even know what brought it to mind. I think it was during song service in Sunday school. I was thinking about how oftentimes people say kids grow up, and then when they get grown, they leave the church. And I've read all kinds of books about why it happens. I think number one reason it happens is because what they see at home is a joke and a sham. It's not real Christianity. Hey, listen, I won't live so my grandkids say there's something in that being saved stuff. I want to live so they'll say there's something worth doing about serving God. It's gladly, I'll spend and be spent. If you love me, good. If you don't, I wish you would. But I'm going to do it anyway. Do it anyway. Lord, I'll serve you. I'll serve you. Just use me. That's all I want. What are you doing with your time? Would you stand, please, with the heads bowed and eyes closed? I realize this morning's a little bit of a different message on Sunday morning. But how about your time? Barzillai said, how long have I lived?